I want to look this evening at our Old Testament lesson taken from Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 6. Now, consider that Isaiah wrote these words when Ahaz was king of Judah. Now, Judah had, not quite as badly as Israel did, but Judah had a horrible string of very evil kings. And Ahaz was one of the worst. And he was dragging the nation down with him into sin and into darkness. It wouldn't be that many years before the people who had been called to be a light to the Gentiles, that nation of Israel, would be virtually wiped out by the Assyrians. See, for years, the people of Judah, this small little nation in the overall scheme of things, a very tiny place, had lived under a huge threat. They were surrounded by superpowers. You had Syria on the north, you had Assyria on the east, you had Egypt in the south. And little Judah there was prime real estate. It was the crossroads of the whole world. It was a good place for God to put his people if they were to be a light to the Gentiles, a light to the nations, because everybody could see them, but it was also territory that every other great nation wanted for itself. Eventually, when the Babylonians overran Judah and when they were gone, everything was gone with them. The cities were demolished. The farms and the crops were destroyed. Even Jerusalem was wiped out, was in ruins. Even the great temple, broken down, stone taken off stone. And worst of all, everyone but the absolute poorest of the poor had been marched off into exile in a foreign land across the desert and across the Euphrates. It doesn't, for a people, for a nation, it doesn't get much darker than that. The Jews in exile were a people almost totally without hope. To them, it looked like the light had been extinguished, and perhaps even to the rest of the world. Had they known that the Jews were intended to be a light to the nations, they probably would have assumed at that point that the light was gone. And yet, into all that darkness, Isaiah spoke the word of the Lord, speaking of another time in the future. Another time in the future that would be perhaps even more dark than their own. And yet he spoke a word of hope for the people in his time, for the people 100 or so years later who would live during that exile, and a word of hope to the people who would live in that even darker time, because in that even darker time, he says, there will come a light, the true light, Jesus Christ. And Isaiah's vision was true. It was a dark time. Jesus came into the world, and there were very few people who had the eyes open to see his light. I mean, there were people like Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist. There were people like Joseph and Mary who had their eyes open and saw the light. There were those who were looking for the light for many years and who knew it when they saw it. People like the priest Simeon and Anna, the prophetess, who spent their time in the temple worshiping and anticipating the day that the light would come. There were shepherds outside Bethlehem who had their eyes opened to the light by those angels who came. And there were some magi from the east who came, drawn by the light, looking for the King of the Jews. But aside from those very few people, no one was really very concerned about the Savior who had come. The light came into the world, but it didn't seem to see him. That night he was born, everybody else in Bethlehem slept on. Judea and Galilee had no idea that the light was there. Isaiah writes about the time that the Messiah would be coming, and he says in verse 2 of chapter 60, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples." It was true of that day. Isaiah could write that about our own time too. For 2,000 years, the light's been shining. It's been taken to every part of the world. It's been shined into all sorts of dark corners. And yet there are still people in our own community who live in darkness. There are whole nations that are closed off to the light. Worse, I think there are whole nations like our own that once carried the light and that called themselves Christian, but that have pretty much all but lost it. Isaiah wrote, "Darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people." And yet into that darkness Isaiah cries. And I have to see him crying with quite great exuberance. verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come. It's a message of hope in the dark. What's he saying? Well, first, what is the light? Isaiah wasn't writing about his own time. There was a sense in which the Jews did have their own light to shine, but Isaiah is talking about a future light, the real deal, in a sense, of which Israel was simply a shadow. The whole prophecy is a vision of a future, of what the story of what the story of the Gospels tell us. That's what he's pointing to. Think of the Christmas Gospel that St. John wrote. We just read it a couple of weeks ago in another evening service. John wrote, "In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." Think of Simeon, that old priest who had spent his time in the temple waiting for the Messiah to come, who understood that prophecy when he held Jesus in his arms, the little baby, and yet Simeon knew. And he sang out those words that are familiar to anyone who's prayed evening prayer before. "My eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." So when Isaiah cries out, "Your light has come," he's talking about Jesus. When Jesus came, he brought his light into the world. And yet, when he ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father, did the light disappear? No, the light didn't leave us. It did in a sense, but it's still here. Jesus indwells each of his people in the person of his Holy Spirit. If we are in him, we carry his light with us. And before he left, he commissioned us to carry that light to everyone in the world, to preach the gospel to all peoples and nations. St. Peter wrote, "We have something more sure, the prophetic word to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place." That message, the gospel message that we were given, is the light that remains even though our Lord has ascended. And he's put it in each of us by his Spirit. As you and I preach Jesus Christ, and that doesn't necessarily mean you stand on a pulpit or take a pulpit on a street corner. We do it in what we do, what we say. We shine the light of Christ into the souls of men and women around us. And as that light shines, the Holy Spirit draws men and women back into fellowship, restores fellowship with God, with those people. Isaiah proclaims to us, "Your light has come." We're in the dark, but the day is coming. The day star is going to rise in our hearts. Through him, the men and women living in darkness become children of light as God calls us into his marvelous light. Isaiah pointed to a despairing people, pointed those despairing people to a new covenant. A new covenant in which salvation would appear in the person of Jesus Christ, and he would drive away the darkness, and God's kingdom would be built and would grow and would fill the whole earth. Think of Daniel's vision. He saw that statue of gold and silver and bronze and iron. It represented all the man-made evil empires that were contrary to and against God's kingdom. And what happened in the vision? A stone was cut out of the mountain and it was thrown down by God and it broke. That giant statue that seemed so powerful broke it into pieces, smashed the image of the dark and evil earthly kingdoms to pieces, and then that stone cut from the mountain expanded until it filled the whole earth. That's what Jesus Christ brought into that dark world. When he came, he smashed the earthly kingdoms. The light of Christ is going to fill it all now. And the light of Christ fills the whole earth because his kingdom people carry his light with them. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Remember that in the Sermon on the Mount? He was the light, but he told us too, "You are the light." Isaiah's light is the light of Christ shining in and through us. So that helps us understand what he means when he says, "Arise and shine," in verse 1. That's the second important part or message in these six verses rather. Isaiah spoke those words to Israel a long time before the Gentiles ever heard them. The call went first to Israel that the light, the Savior, is coming. Be on the watch. Be alert, he says, lest the time of God's salvation pass you by while you're asleep on guard duty. And then having received God's salvation, Isaiah calls on them, don't keep it to yourself. Don't hide the light. Don't put it under a basket. Hold it high. Hold it high enough that it chases away the darkness around you. High enough to draw the lost out of their darkness. Now the fact is that most of the Jews didn't listen. They didn't heed Isaiah's warning or any of the other warnings that were given. And God's salvation passed them by. But for the few who were awake and on guard when Jesus came, they heard the warnings of those like Isaiah. And through those first apostles, the light was held high. Higher than I can imagine by contrast of how the church is today, because that message of the gospel, that light, was carried from Jerusalem to throughout Judea to Samaria and eventually to the whole world. Thanks to them, that light went from family to family, from friend to friend, from neighbor to neighbor, from country to country, eventually down to our country. And from our ancestors to our more recent ancestors and our friends to us, so that we would have the light. But Isaiah's call isn't just a call to ancient Israel or to the apostles. The fact that you and I are now walking in light should be a reminder that his call is to you and to me. That's really the core of the Epiphany message. Jesus didn't come for a certain group of people, and no more. Those people are to take the message to others. And it's a message for each of us to continue, to persevere in the light, to keep walking in it. Even the most mature of us, the most light-filled of us, still has dark corners, corners that we keep closed off from the Spirit's work. Maybe we know they're there, maybe we don't. But as our light grows brighter, because we let him come in and lighten those corners, as our light grows brighter, remember that the world is still full of people walking around in total darkness. Be a light every place you walk. Be a light at work. Be a light in your family. Be a light in your church. Live for others. Spread the light around. That was the power of the apostles in the early church. Like I said, they held that light higher than I can imagine, because it's amazing when you consider how they spread the gospel compared to how much we seem to not to. I think we've become complacent. We've got the light, and we'll share it if it's not too inconvenient. We don't hold it very high often. The early church spread and grew because those first Christians were excited about the light. They remembered what the darkness was like. They'd been rescued from the darkness, and all they could think to do now that they were out of the darkness, it was like someone with a flashlight now being rescued from a dark cave, and all they could think to do was run back into the dark cave with the light to get more people out. You know, we only have so much time here. The day's almost over. The night's coming. And yet there's still a lot of work to do in the Lord's harvest. And the laborers are few, as Jesus said. And so, brothers and sisters, it's time for the church, for us, for you and me, to get serious and get busy about the Lord's work while we still have the daylight to do it. Now, maybe we aren't busy because we think it's a waste of time. Isaiah says, if that's our attitude, Isaiah says, no. Lift up your eyes all around and see. He says in verses 4 to 6, and nations shall come to your light. You think it's a waste of time to hold the light up? Nations will come, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. You see the parents carrying their kids with them as they come. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, that's a Christmas message. It describes at the end there those wise men coming and giving praise to God in the person of Jesus Christ. And yet that Christmas message that's found here in Isaiah is for each and every child of God too. That doesn't mean much if it doesn't have personal application to us. And think about that. Your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That's for you. The Savior will fill your heart with light and will fill you with grace and drive away the night of sin. The light shines for you and for me, and He wants us to see His glory. As John says, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's a holy light. And if we receive it, if we receive the light, it will do good things for us. It will renovate us. It also means it's going to shake us up. I'm always amazed at how casually we're prone to coming to the holy table. Here the Lord gives us Himself to eat and drink. Here is the sacramental sign of the reality that when we receive His light, we make Him our own. When we come to His table, we meet Him face to face in the bread and in the wine. And we should be reminded here at the Lord's table of all places that in His love for us, He gave His own body and blood. When we come to the table, we should be coming in such a way that we are reminded each time of all the dark corners in our own lives that we've still got, that we haven't allowed the light into. We need to remember that. The fact is that no matter how often we invite the light to shine into those corners, every time you look, you're going to find some more dark ones. At the same time, it's often hard to purge the darkness. And while we try to purge the darkness and keep finding new dark corners, it can get discouraging. And that's when we need Isaiah's assurance. It says, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That light is what gives us hope. When we come to the table, I think of the words of David from Psalm 112. He said, unto the godly there ariseth up light in the darkness. He, God, is merciful, loving, and righteous. Or as Isaiah says in verse 5 of our Old Testament lesson tonight, there you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult. When? When you experience the Lord as your light and your salvation. From the table, we can go back to the daily grind out in the world with new confidence. We can go back to our life when we still struggle with sin and have confidence and hope that our battles and struggles with darkness are not in vain. And as we go back to the daily grind, go back to the world from the table, our eyes should be opened again to the darkness in the world, to the fact that so many continue to walk in darkness, to stumble around. The light has come, and yet, like so many of those people in Jesus' own day, they don't see it. And so in that situation, Isaiah tells us again, arise, get up and shine. Get up and shine the light in the world. Keep holding it high. We all know people that we've been shining the light to maybe for years. Maybe sometimes we feel like we're holding their eyes open and poking the light in it, saying, look, see, and they still don't see it. And that can get discouraging. And yet Isaiah says, don't give up. Remember, your job is to shine the light. Opening the eyes is the Spirit's job. Making people see it, that's the Spirit's job. As long as you keep holding the light, then what you're doing is never in vain. Have hope. Trust God. Keep casting the net. It's true that we'll never catch every soul that we cast the net for, but it's also just as true that we will catch every single soul that God, in His good will, intends for us to catch. And there's hope in that. It means we're not doing it in vain. Again, don't fall asleep on duty. Isaiah may have given this prophecy over 2,500 years ago, but God is still fulfilling it today. We look at the harvest that comes in the world today. It's still happening. And so as you come to the Lord's table this evening, leave with renewed light and proclaim the Lord's death until He comes back. The day is coming when He will come back, when the light Himself will be here on earth again and fills the whole world. We may get discouraged today as we feel like we're sometimes stumbling around in the half light, but He has promised that your labor, my labor, our labor is not in vain. And when His light fills the earth on that last day, then, in the full light, you and I will see that our labor wasn't in vain. And I think on that day we'll be surprised at some of the people who have come to the light that we didn't even know about because we labored on. All because we were faithful in holding the light high. So brothers and sisters, I urge you this Epiphany of 2010, arise and shine because your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Go out and be light in the world wherever God has put you. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you came and brought light to the world in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we would constantly be walking in the light, that we would be inviting your Spirit to shine His light, bright light into the corners of our lives that we might be greater light ourselves. Father, we pray that we would never be complacent in holding the light high, that we would take it out to the world and that we would hold it high in our homes, in our places of work, with our friends, where we recreate, wherever we are, and even here in the church, Lord, that we would kindle the lights of our brothers and sisters, that we might be light to the world and draw men to you. Father, we trust that your Spirit is doing the other work of opening eyes and changing hearts. Let us be faithful in holding the light that they may see. We ask this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.